All right, we're talking about what heaven is like, and we are looking at the permanent heaven. We have a few messages left on this subject, and we're getting to the end here. What I have done is I've tried the best. You know, I just felt like there's so much that you can do by visualizing something. And, of course, we're talking about heaven. We're talking about the New Jerusalem. But because this has been so beautifully described by the Apostle John, people who are artistic, who are a real gift to the church, have taken what it says and tried to, you know, imagine what it would look like. And so what I've done is I've scoured the internet and my resources, my image resources, and I've tried to find all of the kind of images that I could, the best ones anyway, to give us a sense when it talks about, you know, the 12 foundations of the city and how they're made of different stones. There are artists who have tried to kind of figure out what that might look like. And so we're going to look at some of those tonight as we go along, just to help you try to visualize what this might be that John is looking at. Just to remind you, last time we talked about the size of the city, which is enormous, and we also talked about the shape of the city. You know, we know it's laid out as a square, but it's also as high as it is wide and long, and so it could be a pyramid, it could be a cube, and it could be apparently a cube inside of a circle, which we looked at with Dr. McGee's kind of unusual approach there. But I want to bring us to verse 12 right now, Revelation 21:12. It talks about the high wall. We've mentioned the width of the wall a little bit before, but Revelation 21:12 says that it has a great high wall with 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 angels. So there's an angel for every gate. And the way that these gates are laid out is that it says that on the gates, the names of the 12 sons of the tribes of Israel are inscribed. Now, the importance there, folks, cannot be overstated. What this tells us, do you remember that on the foundations, whose names are written? The 12 what? The 12 apostles of the Lamb, right? And on the gates, names of the 12 sons of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel, right? What this tells us is that in the final city, in permanent heaven, Israel is there. God has a plan for Israel. Israel is there, and the church is there. All of the saved from all of the ages are there, but specifically, there is homage to the apostles of the church, the apostles of the Lamb, who have promulgated the gospel throughout the whole world. You know, the original 12, obviously not counting Judas, but the apostle Paul in Judas's stead, and the 12 sons of Israel to show not Israel's faithfulness, but God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness to his promise. If some did not obey, Paul said. He's talking about Israel. We've studied it one Sunday morning recently. If some did not believe or prove to be unfaithful, would that make God unfaithful? And Paul's answer is never let that be considered. It must be, we have the imperative mood there, it must be that God is faithful, even if everybody is unfaithful. Let God be true and every man a liar. And the Greek literally says, it must be the case that God is true. Even if every human being on this earth were a liar, God would still be true. So it's important to notice those 12 names of the sons of Israel, because there is an amazing theological truth in this eschatological principle. Eschatological simply meaning the end times. The amazing theological truth is that God made promises to Abraham, and the God who made those promises is faithful. And you better hope he is. What is it? Pastor Dave can tell me where it is. Malachi, the Italian prophet. I am the Lord God. And I am the Lord God, and I lie not, or something like that. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Yeah, but how does it go? I am the Lord God. I lie not. Isn't that I lie not? Yes, I am the Lord God, and I do not change. That's why, or therefore, you sons of Jacob. Notice they're not called sons of Israel. Whenever God wants to talk about Israel with a view toward their sinfulness, he calls them the sons of Jacob. when he wants to talk about Israel with a view toward their inheritance in God's promise, he calls them Israel, you know. So I am the Lord God, and I change not, is what it says. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. And you know why I said you better hope that God doesn't change his mind and become unfaithful? Because what about the promises he made to us? I mean, come on. Is there anybody in this room that has not been unfaithful to God a million times? Of course we have. Yeah. Today. Well, we're not that bad, Jeff, but, you know, the Bible does say confess your sins one to another. No. But, okay, so, and then look at the next verse, verse 13. When you think about the gates, think about three of them are on the east side of the wall. So you've got a north wall, an east wall, a south wall, and a western wall, right? And there's three gates in each one, in each side of those four walls. Okay? Everybody with me? And then it tells us that the wall, the material of the wall, is jasper. We go back to this jasper stone, and jasper comes in many colors. It's a very, very beautiful stone. Not a stone. I know nothing about gemstones. Nothing. I know that they're expensive and all of that, but like if you, you know, if you said the difference between this kind of stone and that, I mean, I don't know what stones look like. But I do know that if you do a search for jasper stone, you're going to get a lot of different colors with these beautiful ribs that usually run through all of the ones that I've seen. This is what is declared to be the material from which the wall is made. The wall that surrounds the city, as I said, has 12 gates. There are 12 that are in the north, 12 that are, I'm sorry, 3 that are in the north, 3 that are in the east, 3 in the south, and 3 in the west. And upon these gates are written the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Revelation chapter 21, 21 also tells us, we'll move along, Pastor Steve, and the next one. Next one, there you go. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. And, you know, we've all heard about the pearly gates, you know, the pearly gates, and what does that mean? Well, when we talk about the pearly gates, we're not talking about, like, I've got a beautiful guitar at home, you know, that's overlaid. It's a National Resonator guitar, and it's overlaid with mother of pearl. It's absolutely beautiful. We're not talking about something that's overlaid with mother of pearl. We're talking about a gate to an enormous city. There's only three gates in the entire direction of the wall. The eastern wall only has three gates. And each gate, the Bible says, is made of a single pearl. Now, what in the world that means? How do you get a pearl that big? Well, I don't think God has a problem. What's that? You'd almost have to be God to build a city like this, right? This city is being built in heaven, the Bible says. We haven't seen this city yet. It'll be realized for us at the millennial kingdom. If we die right now and go face-to-face with the Lord, we're going to go to the third heaven, the paradise of God. That's where my mom is right now and my dad. The day's coming, though, where we will all have our permanent home in this city that will have no end. And this city will have 12 pearly gates. Each one of the gates is made of a single pearl. The Bible says that throughout all of the eternal day, its gates will never be closed. Closed gates are a picture of having to keep something out. You've got to understand, the devil is gone in the eternal day. The sin nature eradicated in the eternal day. Nothing unclean, the Bible says, and unclean, understand, needs to be defined as nothing that hasn't been cleansed by Christ. We're clean tonight. You and I are clean. Do you know that about yourself? The Bible says you are clean. Jesus said this in John 15:3. He said, you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. Do you know what that word is? If you believe, you'll be saved. And if you put faith alone in Christ alone, you are clean right now. I know our feet get dirty touching this earth. I know we make terrible decisions. I know we do things that dishonor God. And all of that we see, oh my goodness, I am so ungodly. Right, thank God that through faith, God justifies the ungodly in Romans 4:5. He doesn't justify those that don't need to be saved. He doesn't justify the clean. He makes clean the ungodly. So I'm clean today because of what Jesus has done for me. And you know what? Nothing unclean will ever go into that city. Nothing that hasn't, that isn't already righteous, like God himself, or the angels that did not fall, or nothing that has not been made righteous by God, will ever enter into that city. And in the eternal day, the gates are always open. Do you know why? You know why those angels are there guarding the gates to the city? Because of the millennial kingdom. After the millennial kingdom, those gates never close. Sin is dealt with. There are no unbelievers. Come on, say amen if you're excited. All right, that's it. Just wanted to prove to the people listening by tape that there's an audience. All right. So these 12 gates made of a single pearl, the gates will never close. That's according to Revelation 21 and verse 25. Its gates shall never be closed. And the Bible says, and I love this, I love this. I wish I would have put it up. I don't know why I didn't. But Revelation 22 and verse 14... You know, everything I'm going to give you pretty much tonight is from Revelation 21 and Revelation 22. But 22:14 says that those who have washed their robes may enter the gates into the city. And our robes are washed, obviously, because of Jesus Christ, right? Do you remember the story of the Tola worm that I shared with you about the Tola worm? No? How many remember that? Put your hand up. Okay, sorry guys. So, we were in Turkey, and we were visiting Ephesus, and we were in Kushadasi, the port city there. And brought the whole group into this. These Muslims were trying to sell us rugs, a beautiful carpet. I call them rugs. I probably would get beheaded, but they're beautiful, beautiful carpets, you know. And so we're not in the mood to buy carpets. Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, smart guy, they do. So they sit you down, and what they do is they have this big circle. They sit you down in a big circle, and these guys come. Like, it's always a family-owned thing, you know? And, like, the sons come out, and they just start laying rugs down. And one guy goes, "This beautiful rug is," and he tells you about it for a second. Another guy comes and, bam, rolls another rug right on top of that rug. And another guy comes and, bam, rolls another rug on top of that roll. And he says, "These rugs are made by the most beautiful, beautiful... kinds of dyes." And he says, they're very, very precious, and they're all handmade, and they're trying to sell it. And I said, and they're being very nice to us. They served us all this beautiful Turkish hot apple tea, which is, like, really delicious. I'm sure you can buy it somewhere, but really something else. And we're all sitting there, and he says, I said, "Could I say a word?" And this was our missionary group that was there. We probably had 30 people. And I said, "You know what's interesting is in the ancient world, the reason the color purple was so expensive is because it came from murex dye, from these crustaceans in the sea. And they would have to take the blood, and they would literally have to take the blood and use it to dye certain things." And I said, "The most expensive kind of dye was this dye that came from the blood of a tola worm, a worm that's called in the Hebrew Bible, a tola." And what would happen is, because this stuff was so expensive, it would be used to dye the absolute most elaborate and costly fabrics in the world, the robes literally of kings. You can imagine how many of these worms they had to harvest and extract the blood in order to make this dye. And then I said, and I'm telling them this story while our Muslim Turkish guys are listening, hoping to sell us carpets. And I said, and there's a beautiful verse in Psalm 22 where Jesus is in prophecy, speaking, and he says, "I am a worm and no man. I am a worm and no man." And the word that's used there is tola. I am a worm and no man. The kind of worm whose blood would be taken to dye the robes of kings. And then there's a beautiful verse that I mentioned to them in Isaiah that says that we have been given robes of righteousness. We've taken filthy rags and we've been given robes of righteousness. And so I made this application, you know, in front of these guys, and I think they were just bewildered. They never said anything. They didn't kill any of us, even offered us more tea, and we didn't buy any carpet. So it was a bad day for Islam. It's a beautiful thing. You know, this picture of Jesus being the one who says, I am the worm that will be crushed. The Creator, your Creator, will allow himself to be crushed so that through my blood you can become, what does the Bible call us? We are a kingdom of priests, right? A chosen generation, a kingdom of priests. So we've got this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture here of what this new Jerusalem is going to look like, and where everyone who is there because of what Jesus has done. They either have, you know, unless, except for the elect angels who never betrayed him and decided when 2/3 of the angels sided with Satan, those angels decided to stay. Those who have their robes washed, the Bible says in Revelation 22:14, may enter the city. So let me show you a couple of these pictures, these images. And again, you've got artists. Is this number one, Pastor Steve? Okay. We have artists who are trying to look at the text and say, what might this city look like? And the pieces should come together a little bit as we move on. But all I want you to pay attention to right now is obviously what shape is it? It's a cube, which kind of gives us that idea of, you know, they're choosing the cube shape with the same width and height and length. But notice they're trying to make sense out of these pearly gates. And so what this artist does is he just has these gates cut into the side of the wall, these enormous gates. They would be enormous when you consider, you know, that each side of the city is 1,500 miles, you know. But there's like these beautiful pearls that are kind of rolling in front of it, kind of like, you know, rolling away the stone from the tomb. I don't think that's what it says. I mean, it says that the gates are made of a single pearl, but just an interesting kind of conception. Go back, Pastor Steve, if you don't mind. What color is the city? Yeah, it's gold, and we'll talk about that. Now, the Bible says the wall of the city, though, is made out of what? What did we just say? Jasper, so we don't know. I want you to notice, though, around the gates, do you notice like this rainbow array of colors? These are the foundations of the city. Every building is built on a foundation. Every city is built on a foundation, that kind of idea, right? And the Bible's going to tell us that this city has 12 foundations, and each foundation is made of a precious stone. So be looking at that as you look at the pictures as well. The next one I have about the pearly gates is this kind of close-up of an angel. You know, each one of the gates has an angel. And the angel has a giant, there's kind of like a mechanism there. See that, Pastor Steve? This is like something I would design. You know, we could put a fastener on the pearl and we could, you know, lift it up and put a stick under it. I don't think it's going to be quite this archaic, but you see there's like there's a fastener all the way to the right side. Do you see that? Almost like the giant pearl goes up and down. You know, I don't know. Who knows? The next one that I have, again, this is a really kind of an artist, just very kind of out-of-the-box kind of thinking, but trying to get a picture of the 12 pearls. You see them on the side of the gates again. You know, same deal. And you notice the different colors of the foundation there, okay? So we'll talk about that, and you might also notice the rivers that are coming out of those things. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight as well. Okay, and one other thing about the pearly gates I think we need to be aware of is just it might be very dangerous for anyone from New York because, you know, it's very possible that when, for example, this is Steinbrenner, you know, trying to get into heaven. And unfortunately, you got three angels who are apparently Red Sox fans at the gates. And it's like, can I help you? You know. So I don't know if this is true. The Bible doesn't say anything about it. But you know what? The Bible doesn't say it's not true. That's all I'm saying. I can't imagine there's a lot of Yankee fans in heaven, but we'll have to wait and see. Okay, let's see what we got. All right. Now, excuse me. So next, the Bible tells us in Revelation 21:14 that the wall of the city, so we're still talking about the wall, and we talked about the gates and the pearls and try to, you know, put all that into into our minds. It says that the wall of the city, as I mentioned, has 12 foundation stones. 12 foundation stones. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And on these foundations, each one of the foundations is a different precious stone. So think of, I think the best way to think about it, and we could be completely wrong because God may have a completely different thing. We're just thinking about the way we do foundations on earth. It's kind of ridiculous to say God might have a better idea, but 12 foundations, and it may be thinking one on top of another, one precious stone on top of another. I don't know. But it says on the stones, on the 12 foundations were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. I believe that's the original 11 plus the apostle Paul, okay? And so you have the idea, again, you know, the church and Israel is distinct. Israel has promises from God. The church has promises from God. The leaders of those promises were the 12 sons of the tribes of Israel, and the leaders of the promises for the church were the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And you know what? There's a very distinct plan in both cases, and God is honoring that, I think, in the design of the city. Now, it goes on to say what these foundations actually were made out of. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. And I'm going down to verse 19 here. These verses are not necessarily all laid out together. So when you go home tonight, if you want to read Revelation 21 and 22, you'll read all of this, but you'll notice it'll talk about the foundation at the beginning in, I think, verse 12, and then it'll mention them again in verse 19. I'm just kind of pulling them together for you so that we can study each attribute independently. But the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel, it says. The first was, and these are the kinds of jewels or precious stone that make up each foundation of the city, okay? The first is jasper. The second is sapphire. The third is emerald. I'm sorry, the third is agate. The fourth is emerald. The fifth is onyx, beautiful black stone. That I do know because I actually have a ring from my dad that he had made with a black square onyx stone and a G in it. It's the only ring that means anything to me except my wedding band. But the onyx stone is that black, beautiful, black, opaque stone. The sixth is carnelian. The seventh is chrysolite. The eighth is beryl. The ninth is topaz. The tenth is chrysoprase. I guess that's how you would say it. The 11th is jacinth, and the 12th is amethyst. Now, just so that you know, the jasper stone comes, as I said, in many different colors. The sapphire is probably blue. Chalcedony is from Turkey, usually blue with stripes of other colors. The emerald is a bright green. Sardonyx is red and white. Sardius or carnelian are usually ruby red in color, sometimes amber honey. Chrysolite is a golden color, probably different from the modern stone, which I understand is like a pale green. But scholars seem to think that it is yellow. Beryl is sea green. Topaz is a transparent yellow green. Chrysoprase is also green. Jacinth or jacinth is violet, and amethyst is purple. Now, you may notice that there's a little bit of a different lineup with what I just read, and that's because there is not 100% agreement among scholars with what the Greek words mean. Because as time went on, a Greek word could be used to identify more than one kind of stone. Like it changed as time went on. And so different scholars change different, choose different stones that it might be referring to. I don't think that's the point here, that we understand exactly what the stone is, because I don't think the stones themselves are significant, except to say this thing is unbelievably beautiful. Unbelievably beautiful and colorful, you know, because we definitely get a sense, no matter how you identify the stones, we definitely get a sense that there's a beautiful variety of color here. So let's take a look at another slideshow that I put together for you. This is just a picture that was put together using some of the colors that are found in these stones that are found. So to give you an idea of, imagine like this is the, maybe to the top of the gate, this is what the foundation of the city looks like. You know, I kind of liked that as a, you know, just a kind of a close-up of, you know, one part, one kind of cross-section of what it might be like. But then trying to imagine the city. Let's take a look at some of these. Now, obviously, this is really kind of far out. This is kind of walls that are not really walls the way we understand walls. You know what? I've got these changing every 10 seconds, so it's a little tough. But you notice the foundations here? See how they're different colors? That's the way this artist is trying to kind of think about it. The Apostle John here is looking at the city, and this is like a Greco-Roman city, but notice the colors of the foundation. You see them there? Okay, the artist sees that. This is like a weird, almost like a spaceship type of New Jerusalem coming down, and he's trying to kind of put this together, but notice he's got the foundations at the bottom there. And again, these are just, you know, ways of thinking about it. I particularly like this one. We already saw this in detail, but you notice the pearly gates that kind of roll away and the 12 foundations that are at the base of the city before the gold takes over. Now, the walls are jasper, but the city is not jasper. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then this is like, you've got your city, it's golden, and you've got your foundations, but that foundation, only God could make that secure. That's a city that I would build on paper, you know, and Pastor Steve would come and with a Sharpie and say, you cannot build that, that will not work. Just kind of getting the idea, and I just found this one today. I thought this was pretty cool. But the idea just, you know, giving more a sense of the actual stones. It's trying to show the stones themselves, you know. I don't think it'll be tottering the way the American lampstand of the church is tottering today. But it's an amazing kind of a thing. And, of course, the city's a cube. What do you see for the gates, folks? There are the pearls. They're all there, right? I mean, everything's there. It's just like, I don't think God would make a crazy-looking place like that. Now, when you think about the city itself, we've always heard that in heaven, the streets are paved with what? Yeah, and now this is significant because gold is the most precious metal, you know. And so the idea is, and it has been for a long, long time, and the idea is that, you know, we will walk on that which is the most valuable thing you could possess, you know, right now. But as true as that is, because the streets are made of gold, the Bible says quite a bit more than that. The Bible doesn't say the streets are made of gold. The Bible says the city is made of gold. Not just the streets. It specifically says that the streets are made of gold in another place. But it says in Revelation 21:18 that the city, so when you think of the city, you're thinking of what? The structures that are in the city, the buildings, the everything that you see is constructed of pure gold, so pure, in fact, that it's like glass. Now, the more you purify gold, you know how you do it. You've heard it a million times. You put it in heat, right? How many have done this at home? I do it all the time. Me and Mary will take a crock of gold, and we'll build a little fire in the middle of the living room. The money we spend on carpets. But anyway, we'll build a little fire in the middle of the living room, and we will put our crock right on top of the fire there, and we'll put all of our gold in there. I'm saying gold, bullion. I put my bullion cubes, my golden bullion cubes in there. And what happens is as it melts, the gold melts, the junk or the dross, right? You've heard that before. The junk floats to the top. And what people do is they take a skimmer and they skim that junk off the top and they get rid of it and they heat it up again. They let it cool and harden and then they heat it up again and the impurities come to the top. That's why God says to Israel, I will refine you in a refiner's fire like gold that's been refined how many times? Seven times. In other words, pure, 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 pure. Well, what this is telling us is that the gold that is used to construct the city, not just the streets, the city itself and all of its non-living, you know, accoutrements. All of the things that are in the city that make up the city are made of gold that is so pure, so refined, that it actually looks like clear glass. Now, how that works functionally, no idea. All I know is it is going to be magnificent beyond measure. Take a look at Revelation 21:21 again. And the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. So we see two verses, 18b and 21, and both of them tell us that the material of choice that God uses for the actual city of the New Jerusalem, walls are made of what? Jasper. Foundations are made of 12 precious stones. Gates are made of pearls. But the city itself is made of gold. And the streets themselves are made of gold. And gold that is so pure, look at what it says. And the street of the city was what kind of gold? This means gold that has not a single bit of junk in it. You know, it's like God himself. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. I think that's the idea. And the city is made of gold, and the gold has no junk in it at all. It is all gold. So refined and so perfect that it actually looks like glass. So, the golden city. What might it look like? Let's take a look at another. Here are the streets. This reminds me of Sofia, Bulgaria. When we were in Sofia, Bulgaria, they have streets that were made during the communist era, and it's all of these bricks like this that are laid in, and they're all painted gold. It's incredible. Around where the mausoleum of Vladimir Lenin is in the middle of Sofia, Bulgaria. But this is real gold now. It doesn't say there's going to be gold bricks. It doesn't tell us it's just going to be like a sheet of gold. It doesn't tell us anything about what the etching will look like. We know it's going to be magnificent. I don't imagine there'll be people tripping all over the place and God going, you know, I didn't think. I mean, we don't have an OSHA here in heaven. So I just wasn't thinking about safety. And yeah, we got people getting hurt. And I don't think it's going to be like that. I think it's going to be perfectly worked out. But the entire city is gold. So now look at our pictures again and some new ones. This is that futuristic one, but what do you kind of get from the whole city? Yeah, it's gold, right? It's like emanating this kind of, with all of that kind of Star Trek weirdness that's in this picture. You've got the idea of gold. This is more of like a conventional type thing. This could be a city in any one of in any city in our country, right? Beautiful river. And, of course, the river is going to a blaze of light, and the reason for that, we'll find out in a little bit, is that the river comes out from the throne of God, right? Okay. But could you go back, Pastor Steve? Does it let you do that? Okay. So these slideshows are kind of a new thing that I'm working with, but you notice you've got beautiful living trees, right? The Bible certainly tells us at least about one tree that will be there, the tree of life. The tree of life is in the river that comes, and it's on both sides of the river. So it must in some way straddle this river. And when we get to the tree of life, I'll show you some images that might kind of convey that. But you can see the gold of the buildings and everything. And it's not just like it's painted. This is the real thing. Next, Pastor Steve. Again, you know, this is more of, I would expect, I see some little, those almost look like Russian onions there or something like that, or some kind of Byzantine maybe flavor there. But kind of looks like a Roman city to me, you know. Constantinople before it became Istanbul. Istanbul, not Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Wait a minute. So if you've got... wait a minute. It's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. Why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. So if you've Istanbul, not Constantinople. Now it's Istanbul, not Constantinople. So if you've got a date in Constantinople, she'll be waiting there in Istanbul. Never heard that before? Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I don't know. Why they changed it, I can't say. People just thought it'd be better that way, but Istanbul is... Well, anyway, the old Istanbul Oh, the old Constantinople is now Istanbul, Turkey. So that kind of looks like that to me. But you notice it's on clouds, right? I mean, this is cool, right? This is like it descending, all right? But doesn't really give, doesn't do much with the, what's missing in the picture? Yeah, where the foundations, where's the pearl, and they need some work. Well, now this is what you call cooking with gemstones. You got your foundation, right? The pearl is just, a glimmer, a glimmering pearl, but it's giving us the picture of the city made of what? Gold, 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 gold. It's not the Emerald City. That's way too cheesy for God. Emeralds are, gold. All right, what else? Then this, I really thought this was kind of weird. Rather than having like foundations, it's almost like a foundation and then a layer of city or a layer of wall. Now, they're showing it, they can't show, artistically, I guess, they can't show a jasper wall and a golden city. So they choose to kind of forget about the jasper and just show you the gold of the city type thing. But again, it's an artistic representation. I like that, though. I think it's cool. And next... Yeah, this is a bigger picture of the one that we already had. Go ahead, Pastor Steve. And this is, a picture of the city kind of coming to earth. This is earth, at the bottom. And, of course, it would be the new earth. I don't think it would look like that because that looks like it's got a lot of water on it. And the new earth has no sea. But, just you see the goldness again. Again here, living things, trees, but the city itself is pure gold. And this is kind of like an Emerald City type thing. I thought of the Emerald City when I saw this. It's got everything but the poppies, right? And flying monkeys. And then here, you've got 12 layers again. The 12 layers. We've seen this before as well. The pearls and the goldness just trying to come out. Is that all of them? Oh, and this, I threw this in. I thought this was interesting. I don't know where it came from. It might even be a Mormon thing or something. But they're picturing the city as a pyramid, which is very rarely seen in art for some reason. Is what's that? Inside a sphere. Yeah, but that's not, but he said it was a cube inside a sphere. Yeah, a cubosphere. All right. And follow the yellow brick road. Only you don't get to the wonderful wizard, you don't get to the wonderful land of Cumberland. You get instead to the Golden City, the New Jerusalem. And this one, I just had to throw it in there, folks. This is apparently God the Father. Or, I don't know, maybe it's Jesus Christ because he's got the sash and I don't know. But it's God, right, apparently. This looks like an oriental figure on the top that you would find at a Chinese restaurant. But the city's a cube. It is gold. There are walls, right? So, hey, and you know what? Jasper can come in green. So, I mean, is it possible that this, folks, is not a drawing but a photograph? I'm just asking. Leonard Nimoy doesn't do that In Search Of program anymore. But if he did, he might do one on this picture. Who knows? Notice what we got. We have how many angels? We have three angels on that side, right? And what do we got for the gates? Hey, they're doing a pretty good job, right? What's everything in the city made out of? What are the streets made out of? What is coming down the center? Apparently, the throne is right in the center of the city there, and so the river is flowing out, and I don't know. That might be the winner. So the Golden City, ladies and gentlemen. And then, why don't we do this, too, and we'll close with this. And then Revelation 22 and verse 1 talks about the river of the water of life. And the angel showed me a river of the water of life, bright as crystal. Have you guys ever been to I just think we spent so much time in the Aegean Sea, where we're in between Greece and Turkey. And you can literally go out in a boat for a mile and look down and see the bottom of the, it is ridiculously clean. Ridiculously clean. I had never seen anything like that. I was a young man when we were on the mission field, and I was just astonished. Now, if you've been to the Caribbean, you've seen some of that too. You go out on a boat and you can look down and you could just see the fish that are down. It seems like a mile. Clean, clean, clean water, not like we're used to here where there's been a lot of population. But you've got this declaration that the water that comes from this river, that comes from the throne of God, is as bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. The Lamb, obviously, is a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ. And through the middle of the street of the city, as that last cube kind of showed it, right, coming right down the middle, also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruits. We'll talk about that next week, because we'll need to do a little bit of backstory on that. But the river is coming through. And Revelation 22 in verse 1 and 2 talks about this city as well. Oh, that's it. I'm sorry. The Bible says that the water is clear as crystal. It runs down the city's main street. One thing that's important for those who are students of eschatology, you might know that there is another river that the book of Zechariah talks about. That is, the Bible says, is going to be on the earth in the millennial kingdom. There's a lot of people who confuse these stories. We're not even going to go there because it's a completely different story. It has nothing to do with this at all. It talks about a river, and it says that the river is coming from the millennial temple. There is no temple in the New Jerusalem. No temple. The Lord himself is the temple. Nothing has to represent God dwelling with man, because God is perfectly dwelling with man, okay? So that's not the same thing. Even though, yes, it's a river and it comes from the temple, this river comes from the throne itself. And, of course, there is no temple. And that is declared in Revelation 21 and verse 22. I saw what? No temple in the city, for the temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. In other words, the dwelling of God is perfectly with man. The temple was the representation of God's presence among the people. It started with the movable tent, the movable feast. You know, before it was a Hemingway book, folks, it was in the Bible. The movable feast was the tabernacle. When God would say, okay, we're moving, they would take down the tent and they would move. And then when they came into the land, God allowed Solomon to build that beautiful. He wouldn't let David do it because of his sin, but he allowed Solomon to do it, and Solomon built a temple for the Lord, and that was a permanent place. No temple, though, in the New Jerusalem. God will always be with us. We will be his people, and I, you will be my people, and I will be your God, is what the promise is. So we'll leave it there, folks. The sources of the Millennial River obviously are very different because they don't even exist in Revelation 21, 22. All right, we'll leave it here. Getting close to the end. It is 2 minutes past eight, but we're getting close to the end of our study here. And I don't know if I'll be able to wrap it up, but we have two more weeks before things kind of change for us on Wednesday nights. And thank you for your patience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful promises of these things. We look at them, Father, and it's almost like science fiction. And then we remind ourselves, no, this is your word. This is your faithfulness, your promises, and this is what you have promised us. No wonder the word of God says that eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has it entered into the imagination of man, the things that you have prepared for those who love you. And we thank you, Father, for giving us the love that we have for you, for shedding it abroad in our hearts. We pray that you would bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.